What bad habits have you picked up off your parents? Did you smoke when you were younger? Are you a worrywart? Do you worry about things you've got no control over, unable to sleep at night, biting your nails or talking with your mouth full? Now, I don't want to see any of you nudging the person next to you. Which of your habits have your kids picked up from you? Do they leave the lights on when no one is in the room? Or do they do something worse, like gossiping behind people's backs? My dad has always made jokes at my nan's expense. For example, when she would call up Dad, the conversation would sometimes go, "Oh, hi, Ian, how are you going? Oh, no, this isn't Ian. This is Alan. You've got the wrong son again." He just always messed with her. So I've picked up that habit a little bit from Dad. And my mother she's starting to wonder why, you know, my brother and I, you know, make jokes at her expense. What about your Heavenly Father? Have you picked up habits from him? Or have you picked up habits from your earthly father, the devil? Have you gotten rid of those habits that you shouldn't have and picked up good habits from your Heavenly Father? Let me read from verse 10 of John. This is how we know who the children of God are and who the children of the devil are. Anyone who does not do what is right is not a child of God, nor is anyone who does not love his brother. We see that we are the children of God, and we are to make a habit of loving one another. We must be characterized by love, because we are no longer children of the devil, but we've been born again as children of God. This morning, we're going to be looking at love and what it means for a Christian. Now, I know what some of you may be thinking. He's preaching on love? How old is he? I've probably been married longer than he's been alive. This may be true, but today we're looking at what the Bible says, and I'm sure that's older than all of us. The word love has changed definitions throughout history. It's been used to refer to romance, Romeo and Juliet style. I will love you and defy my family to be together. Or it can often be used by people to mean affection. I'm sure that Tiger Woods told a number of women he loved them before he got rid of them. Or some people would say that they love to watch the news, or a good hearty meal in winter, or a young man saying, "I love donuts. I just want to eat them all day." When we use the word love, it doesn't usually mean the same thing. If we're to be like our Heavenly Father, then we must love like he loves and make a habit of it. John reminds the readers that this is the message that we've heard from the beginning, that we should love one another. As Ken Allen mentioned 2 weeks ago, the Gnostics were saying that the only way to know God was to have a secret knowledge of him. But John again reminds us that there is no special knowledge, and there is no secret knowledge that we need of him. But we're reminded that it's just the same message that has been preached from the beginning. And that's that Jesus has come to save us and that we need to preach the good news. Now, what about bad habits? We all have bad habits. As I mentioned before, I sometimes like to make a joke or two at my mum's expense. Sometimes my friends and sometimes my wife. But bad habits have consequences. If you have a habit of comparing yourself to the people next door, it may lead to jealousy, which could lead to you being in a large amount of credit card debt because you just had to have that new TV. We see an example of a bad habit here in 1 John. Cain's bad habit was jealousy. In this story, we see a sequence of events: jealousy, hatred, and murder. Cain was jealous of his brother, because he was wicked and his brother was righteous. He was jealous and resented that Abel found favor in God's eyes. This jealousy lay behind his hatred, resenting what his brother had, and this hatred led to the murder of his brother. Cain's bad habit led to Abel's death. It was the same sequence of events that led to Jesus' death. The Pharisees see Jesus come on the scene, preaching and teaching with power. And they're jealous of him because the people of Israel are flocking to him to hear his preaching. When the Pharisees confront and question him, they realize he has an answer for all their questions. Their jealousy turns into hatred, which leads to his death. Cain is the world's prototype, which manifests the hatred that he first displayed. It should only be expected that the world, which is wicked, will continue to treat the righteous like Cain treated Abel. So things like the ethics trial, where people are trying to get scripture out of school, and persecution against Christian, these things really should not surprise us. If I was to ask a person that knew you best what you were like, would they say, oh, look, yeah, she's lovely, she's just a normal person? Or would they say that you go out of your way to make a habit of loving people? Now let's see what a good habit looks like. John sums up the best habit to have. Let me read from verse 16 to 18. This is how we know what love is. Jesus Christ laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for our brothers. If anyone has material possessions and sees his brother in need but has no pity on him, how can the love of God be in him? Dear children, let us not love with words or tongue, but with actions and in truth. What does it mean to love in truth? This idea of loving in truth reflects a similar idea in James chapter 2. There, James explains that if you have true faith, it will be reflected in the way you live and the things you do. In the same way, if we truly love, it will be reflected in our lives and in our actions. Now, love. It says, let us not love with words or tongue, but with actions. Now, men, this isn't saying that you shouldn't use words to love your wife. I still expect you to tell them how great they look, how much you appreciate them, and how fantastic dinner was. But what John is saying here is that your actions must back up your words. So if you said to your wife, oh, dinner was great, but you didn't actually eat any of it, you're probably not going to get too many more meals cooked for you. Your wife will know that you love her because your words will reflect your actions. We need to make a habit of our words matching our deeds. I don't want to be known as someone who makes a habit of lying or making false promises. We can only love because it has been shown to us through Jesus. God made a number of promises through the Old Testament. One of those is from 2 Samuel 7. Here, Nathan, a prophet of God, reveals to David that there would be a king from David's line who would reign forever. God makes a habit of his love for us. He makes a habit and he lives up to it. He makes promises and we see their fulfillment. God sends Jesus, his son, to die and is raised and he rules forevermore in fulfillment of that prophecy. God makes a promise, and because his actions reflect his words, we can know what real love is. Love. Well, it's inconvenient in today's society. Society says that love is all about what you can get from it. Comfort, sex, security, and it shows us how to get out of it when it becomes difficult. And when we actually need to do things, like sacrificing time to be with your partner, or something like couples counseling to make sure our marriages are still strong. Society teaches that if something gets in the way of what you want to do, you need to move it aside. The Bible shows us that if we are to love like God loves his children, then there is a cost. Now, this might just be me. Most of the men may agree with me here. But I think that chairs and lounges are great places for talking. But the bed, well, the bed's for sleeping. My lovely wife seems to have it the other way around. After a long day at work, you know, maybe go for a run in the afternoon, I'll drop into bed exhausted. She gets into bed and starts asking, oh, what did you want to do tomorrow? Did you want to go and see your parents? Did you want to go down and see my family as well? And I'm thinking, oh, hang on. I'm trying to sleep here. She seems to have it the other way around. The bed for her is to talk. My natural reaction is just to grunt and roll over. But if I'm being a loving husband, I'll talk and actually listen, and not just say that I'm listening. We must make a habit of going out of our way for each other. When we love, it actually costs us something. For me, it was time and sleep. For some, it may be that dream job where you would have to move away, but decided to stay here for your family. Love can also cost financially. Have your adult kids who continue to tell you that they're independent ever come and asked you for some money? Let me read from verse 17 again. If anyone has material possessions and sees his brother in need but has no pity on him, how can the love of God be in him? The verse there says material possessions and sees his brother in need. Now, there are a couple of important things to take from this. It says material possessions, not whoever has extra money and feels they could give a little bit of it away, but whoever has, regardless of the amount. Now, I'm sure that there would be many people from this congregation that are very generous, and I commend you for that and encourage you to continue. Now, this verse also uses the word see, when you see your brother in need. To love someone, you actually need to see them. Now, that doesn't mean bumping into each other once a week in church and saying, hi, how are you going? Oh, good, thanks, I'm going for a coffee. But it actually means to really know each other. And when you ask how you are, to get a proper answer. We need to be engaging and investing time with other people so that you can know them if you see a problem, so you can actually help them. Far too often, people can say that they're fine when they've actually just lost their job or their marriage is falling apart and they actually need help. But for us to be the children of God that John is describing, we need to know when our brothers and sisters in Christ are in need. When you ask, or when someone asks you, how are you? Don't be afraid to answer, oh, look, I'm doing it tough at the moment. Some prayer would be great. I believe things like Bible studies are invaluable for a Christian to mature. As C.S. Lewis said, it is easier to be enthusiastic about loving humanity with a capital H than it is to love individual people. John says that if you see your brother in need but have no pity on him, how can the love of God be in him? We can only know love because of God. But there is a condition. If we know God's love, then we will be a people who give this love away. You won't just love your family, but also your brothers and sisters in Christ. It shouldn't be something you think about every once in a while. That's not a habit. It should be something you do automatically. We must make a habit of investing our time in other people. And it is an investment. I can imagine that a few of you here would have saved some money on a regular basis in the past. Once a week when it was payday, you got your envelope with the cash in it, you walked down to the bank, you paid those bills, and you put some money into your savings account. It was just a habit for you. Part of what you did, just what you did every week. But now you're reaping the rewards for your good habits because you have enough to live on. Good habits give good rewards. Let me read from verses 23 and 24. And this is his command, to believe in the name of his Son, Jesus Christ, and to love one another as he commanded us. Those who obey his commands live in him, and he in them. And this is how we know that he lives in us. We know it by the Spirit he gave us. We see two rewards for making love a habit. We can be assured that God loves us because he hasn't left us to our own devices, but rather he took action for us. And we can have confidence that we are the children of God because we love others. When John says, this then is how we know that we belong to the truth, He is reminding us to not close our hearts towards our fellow believers in need. You will know you belong to the truth when your love finds practical expression in helping those in need. If we believe in the name of the Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another as he commanded us, then we can have assurance of eternal life with God our Father. So my question to you, how is your love life? Have you picked up bad habits along the way and forgotten how important it is to love like God loves us? Or are you making a habit of love? Let me pray. Dear Lord and Heavenly Father, I want to thank you so much for this congregation. I just want to pray that they would continue to love like you have loved us and that they would make a habit of it. Please strengthen them and encourage them to continue to love like you do. Amen.